Ahmed Chalabi is a member of the Iraqi Governing Council. Yesterday, his term as temporary president came to an end. He was a leading Iraqi exile for many years as head of the Iraqi National Congress, and he's been on Capitol Hill this week. That's where he joins us by telephone. Welcome to the program once again, Mr. Chalabi.
Thank you.
You were at pains yesterday to say that U.S. money for the reconstruction of your country should come in the form of grants, not, as some have proposed, loans. Why is it so important that U.S. aid not be in the form of loans, considering that Iraq, after all, is an oil-exporting country with obvious identifiable sources of revenue?
We need grants, not loans, because Iraq is burdened by Saddam Hussein with over $120 billion of debt. This debt was contracted by Saddam for the repression of the Iraqi people and to fund his aggression. And we want to negotiate down this debt, but at the same time, we cannot bear more debt. Also, the infrastructure of Iraq is destroyed, and we need urgent assistance to make it go. And I believe that the Iraqi people will be very grateful for President Bush's request for grants to assist in the reconstruction of Iraq. Also, Iraq has a very large oil reserve, but it requires a very large investment to produce it at the level that is required to fund reconstruction. We need at least $38 billion over the next 3 years to bring up Iraqi oil production to the level of 6 million barrels per day.
But beyond the actual needs for money, Senator Warner of Virginia said yesterday when you appeared together that you had mentioned that the issue of loans, the proposal of giving Iraq loans, reopens the debate as to whether the U.S. came to bring Iraqis freedom or came to get Iraqi oil. And you said it may open that debate. It may reopen that debate. Is that accurate?
I believe we must do whatever we can, both as Iraqis and Americans, to demonstrate the truth that the United States came to Iraq for freedom, for the freedom of the Iraqi people. If one of the first things that is done in the post-war situation is to contract debts to America on behalf of Iraqis for the purpose of reconstruction, this would open the charge again, but that has been leveled by many, many people who did not want this war to go forward and did not want Saddam to be removed, that the United States did come for oil. I believe that this is not the case, and it would be unfortunate if we gave any more ammunition to anybody to say that.
In a sense, you're saying the U.S. can pay for its innocence right now of this charge if it makes grants rather than offers loans.
The U.S. can pay for its security and its strategic position in the Middle East and for its mission in the world as the country that is the beacon of democracy and freedom in the world.
I want to ask you about a story that appeared in the New York Times this week, which I'm sure you're very familiar with and you've been asked about a lot. I'm going to read you the beginning of it. It said, an internal assessment by the Defense Intelligence Agency has concluded that most of the information provided by Iraqi defectors who were made available by the Iraqi National Congress was of little or no value, according to federal officials briefed on the arrangement. In addition, the Times wrote, several Iraqi defectors introduced to American intelligence agents by the exile organization and its leader, Ahmad Chalabi, invented or exaggerated their credentials as people with direct knowledge of the Iraqi government and its suspected unconventional weapons program, the officials said. The idea is people think that they were sold a bill of goods by the Iraqi National Congress.
Well, of course, this sounds like a Jason Blair story to me. The whole issue of this...
I should say it's by reporter Douglas Jale, who hasn't been accused in any way of fabricating stories.
Nevertheless, this story basically takes a very complimentary piece of news to us and turns it around. About 30% of the defectors and information we introduced provided good information in the story. If anybody is familiar with intelligence, they will discover that our success rate was a lot higher than the average. So I think what we did was very useful and important, and notwithstanding the way the story was reported.
The contemporary events, though, that lend credence to stories of this sort, the contemporary event is the search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that has turned up nothing. And what is your explanation for it? How do you understand it?
In terms of the people we brought on weapons of mass destruction, we exactly brought out three. None of them claimed to be have operational knowledge of weapons of mass destruction. One of them they liked so much, they put him in the witness protection program, which he still remains. Now, as why were the weapons not found? Saddam had a very profound concealment mechanism. I think there has to be diligent work done by the U.S. authorities, which I believe they are still doing, I think there are weapons hidden in Iraq.
Are you confident that at some point in the future there will be discoveries of, say, stocks of chemical weapons that were ready for use by the Iraqi army but for whatever reason were not in fact used?
I believe there are such weapons hidden in Iraq now, and I think with diligent work and getting Iraqis involved in the process, this will be found.
Mr. Chalabi, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Ahmed Chalabi, formerly head of the Iraqi National Congress, now a member, and until yesterday, the temporary president of the Iraqi Governing Council.